The Con Guy Show, the official program of theconguy.com, is heard on the We Be Geeks Collective and on sci-fi.radio.
You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Tired of the same old movie podcasts?
Yeah.
What if I told you there's a podcast that gabs about good and bad movies?
Why are you spreading such lies?
It's true, you rascal. Every week, Double Edge Double Bill mixes that scrumptious taste of good movies with the sour flavor of a bad one.
That sounds tasty.
Well, don't delay. Stuff it down your ear throats today. Double Edge Double Bill is part of the Balance ESO Network Breakfast. It can be found wherever you download podcasts.
We're the Con Guys, and this is the Con Guy Show, coming to you straight from the nerdy heart of Hollywood, California.
And this is Jim with theconguy.com.
She's been here with theconguy.com.
Katie here, aka the Con Girl.
Zordon did not want five teenagers with attitude.
My name is Derek Sam.
I'm Danae Sams, and that's my brother.
We are your home for news, opinions, and interviews from the world of Comic-Cons and fandoms, your ultimate insiders for all things con. Hey, welcome everybody!
Hey, every time I hear the con part at the end, it just makes me laugh.
Yes. So I made it! I still laugh.
It's great editing, Ben.
Oh, thank you. I could do better. I want to redo the intro, but you know, but that was good for a placeholder for now, I think.
Oh, I love it. I love it so much. This is the Con Guy Happy Hour, a production of theconguy.com. This is where, you know, we grab a drink, belly up to the bar, and have a casual, friendly conversation about what's going on in the world of fandom, Comic-Cons, and entertainment. Because you know what? There's a couple of possibly controversial things that have erupted. I hate to say erupted, swirled around this week. Let's just say swirled. Some things have swirled around. That's fantastic in the comment section. But let's just say we're so glad, Jonathan Wilkinson, you're here. He is literally driving to LA right now to see you guys soon. That's amazing. Oh. I don't know what that means, but probably Ben does.
I've got the inside info. I'll tell you. I'll tell you after the show.
Awesome. My name is Jim Fry. I am your editor-in-chief, and I guess I'm the bartender at this Con Guy Happy Hour. Guys, we're not promoting drinking too much. Ben will tell you when we do promote drinking in just a second because he loves to do those sponsorship things. Anyways, who do we have with us tonight? Let's start with the con girls. I'm so glad to see you ladies tonight. Danae.
What's up? I'm Danae Sams, one of the con girls, half of the Samblings. The other half isn't here. He's dealing with a crisis of whatever. Yeah, well, they just like lost a bunch of data and they're trying to get it back. But I'm so excited. I've been so excited to talk Loki with you guys since Jim invited me to like be like, hey, come be on the Con Guy sometime. And I'm like, yes, can't wait for Loki to come out so I can talk about it on the show.
She has been so excited.
I'll show Katie. My Loki merch in a minute.
I'm so sorry. But I am so excited for Danae to be talking about the ghost. She has been so stoked about this. Katie.
Yes. I am Katie, aka Katie_Christine. I am one of the con girls, the other half for Danae. I am a cosplayer, a costume designer, a host, a Funko Pop collector. I have a small collection. Happy to be here. Hoping I don't fall asleep because I've been working a lot. So if I do, I apologize.
Well, if you do, no worries, Katie. Katie's been working a lot. She's a costume designer, and she's been working on a production, and it sounds pretty exciting. All right, we are glad to have our Midwest correspondent, Jake, with us. How you doing, Jake?
Good. How you guys doing?
We are doing great.
Yeah. It's Jake from the Jacobus System coming at you from Columbus, Ohio. I'm the collectible guy of the group, I guess, and just here. Happy to be on the show again, so.
And it's kind of cool because there's been tons of collectibles from Masters of the Universe, which is one of the topics we're going to talk about tonight. And of course, who do we have in the center square tonight? Paul Lynn.
Center square. Paul Lynn. Hey, everyone. It's me, old buddy Ben, here with the Con Guy Happy Hour. I am, since we're kind of leaning more into the filmmaker, Hollywood thing here. So I am an actor, writer, producer, director.
I've done all those things. I don't know if I should label myself all those things. I'm also a host. I do stuff for that #show.com, which is the network we're coming to you on right now, or through, I guess, because you might be listening to us on many of the different podcasting locations that you can hear this show or watch this show. But for our video broadcast tonight, we are on that #show.com. And as always, our show tonight is brought to you by the wonderful folks over at Neft Vodka, who remind you to please always drink responsibly, people, responsibly. Look, we had a whole year of sitting on our couch drinking irresponsibly. Let's now that we're going back out into the world, let's take it easy. Let's be responsible. Also, I believe Toink.com is also a sponsor, and they are wonderful. You can get awesome collectibles. And if I may have the spotlight for just a moment.
Spotlight is on.
You know, many of you out there, you see us on the con guy and you think, hey, they must all be best friends. Oh, thank you, dear. And and many of you may not know that in real life, we are actually friends, too. We're not just pretending like we're friends on the show. And I have a statement that I would like to say last night. Many of our discussions before we go on the air take place on a text thread that gets obnoxiously long in a matter of minutes. And suddenly somebody will be like, hey, I just got a break from work. Why do I have 3,000 text messages that I have to read through? So last night was one of those nights, and I have to issue an apology here. A topic that I can't discuss came up for professional reasons. I can't discuss it on this show. But a topic came up, and I got into a debate or a heated exchange, if you will, with good official silent con guy. I guess not so silent, but invisible con guy, Brad. Good friend of the show, friend of all of ours, friend to children and animals. And I just wanted to say, I got snarky in my comments because I had a very solid like opinion about what I thought, you know, the thought process should be. And he had a very impassioned opinion of what he thought. And I got real snarky and he got upset and I got upset and everybody else was like, what is going on? Why are you guys talking about this? And so, Brad, buddy, I apologize for being snarky to you. I understand where you're coming from, and I want to listen and hear what you have to say when we are discussing important subjects. And next time we are at Casa, margaritas on me.
Whoa! Get snarky with me. There I want some margaritas.
There's a cat who is
sorry.
Cat. Hey, what's your cat's name? Cat.
This is Gracie. She had to say hi.
Oh, Gracie.
She had hey, to jump
that
up
was
and
so nice.
Using the cat for clout, I see, Jake.
What's that?
Using the cat for clout, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah. I do have to say this. I was part of the discussion as well on the text stream. Ben, that was fantastic. That was so kind. And I do, and I know we were talking. I don't think anyone was really too over the line, but it's awesome that you're sensitive to it. I really do. I think that's fantastic that you're sensitive to it. And,
okay. I'm a sensitive man, Jim. Hey. I am a sensitive man.
Hey,
I just saw your comment, Katie. Apparently we need to fix that problem. Hey, hey Ben, somebody wants to say something.
Blood good. Hey, Kat. So Kat, I don't know. I think this is public knowledge because she posted it on Facebook, but Kat has been in the hospital recently. So I just want to shout out to you and say, I hope you're okay. She tried to call me. I missed a call from her on Facebook and I messaged her back and she said she was doing okay. So I hope you're doing okay. I hope everything's on the up and up. And thank you for tuning in tonight. It's a blast. I was hoping I was going to see you in the comments tonight.
Kat, oh my gosh, all our best wishes and prayers, Kat. Hopefully you get there. And then over here, happy hour from Total Deegan. That's pretty cool. And then big cheese. Hi, Deegan. And then a lot of other.
Where are you? No, not
a lot of big cheese.
Says, I love your stream, Deegan. That's kind of cool. That's really nice. Oh, and then Bradley. It's okay, Sharon Osborne. I'll have Margs with you.
I'm Sharon Osborne.
Sharon. All right, guys. So we do have a lot to talk about tonight. Not a lot as much as we want to dig in a little bit. And Danae is just, she can't wait to get into it. Tonight, Danae is going to take us into the world of Loki. And then we will attempt to dip our toes into a little bit of a possible controversy surrounding Kevin Smith's new Masters of the Universe series coming in July on Netflix. And then we're just going to talk a little bit about that. We're going to be remain calm, friendly, and respectable. Let's hope. But first, here's a little bit, a tiny bit of news, and we just got a couple of items here. Just to let you guys know, we know that E3 just happened this past weekend. Katie's been working all weekend. Otherwise, she would be bringing this report to E3. But, you know, there's only one of her, so we can't expect miracles to happen.
Yeah, yeah, but, you know, I'm going to start charging overtime, so, you know.
But there was it was really cool. I did love the trailer for, is it the Ender's Ring, the Ring of Ender's Ring from the H.R. Martin. That looked pretty amazing. I guess it's been a long time coming. So, which everything from that man is a long time coming. So, anyways, we'll talk about that a little bit later. So, anyways, first of all, this is something that Derek, who was not with us tonight, and Ben on the aforementioned tech stream brought up, and I didn't know anything about this. Recently, Variety spoke to the showrunners of several superhero genre television shows about how they attempt to subvert popular superhero tropes. One quote came from an article. One quote from the article came from Justin Halpern, the co-creator and executive producer of Harley Quinn, and this is what he said. By the way, not completely safe for young ears, I guess.
Okay, it's okay. It's okay. Called the happy hour. It's gonna happen.
This is what he said. He said in this third season of Harley, when we had a moment when Batman was, and I apologize, guys. In the third season, when he was going down on Catwoman, DC was like, you can't do that. You absolutely cannot do that. And they were like, what? And he goes, and they said, heroes don't do that. So we said, are you saying heroes are just selfish lovers? And they were like, no, it's just that we sell consumer toys for heroes. Yeah, it's hard to sell a toy if Batman is also going down.
Not to adults, it's not.
Oh my gosh.
Who buys more collectibles than kids, adults?
Yeah, I was like, have you ever met any of these guys that go to cons? What are you talking about?
Did any of you guys see Koi's tweet that he posted?
No.
I saw it on his Instagram and I wanted to share it because it's funny. Koi has been on our show for those of you who haven't been here before. Huge Marvel fan, has lots of things that he talks about Marvel on. But he said, and you thought Bruce Wayne was selfish because he's a billionaire.
Here was my response. Warner Brothers said, heroes don't do that, but I challenge you, walk up to any woman on the street, ask them, what do heroes do? And guess what your number one answer is going to be?
I don't know if that's... Well, okay.
I have never been happier that Derek, my brother, has been absent for a con.
He's the con guy after dark tonight.
Oh, yeah, it kind of is. It is. No, that was kind of... Derek's the one who brought this topic up, he and Ben. And all I know is this way. I didn't realize that the Batman series was quite that adult. I didn't know that.
The Harley Quinn series.
It is adult. So that's what's kind of weird about them not allowing that.
So the Harley Quinn series is so well done. It's really, really good, but it's very adult. A lot of language, a lot of F-bombs, a lot of sexual, you know, not just innuendo, but you know, it's not hentai. They're not showing cartoons having sex with each other, but it's very adult. It's a very adult cartoon, but it's also like, if you're a fan of Batman and the characters, it's hilarious and spot on for like, oh my gosh, they're just making, they love these characters and they're making fun of the lore. And it's fantastic in my opinion.
That's awesome. Hey, by the way, speaking about adult animated shows, the Amazon superhero animated show, what is Invincible?
Invincible. Mm-hmm. Don't spoil it, though. I'm still on episode 2, so don't you
dare. Okay, I'm not going to – you're on an – Ben, do you know who the showrunner was on that for the first 3 or 4 episodes? It's a friend of yours, Copeland.
Oh, Chris Copeland, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, they had done storyboards and done some directing on there, yeah.
Yeah, but
– I didn't realize he was a showrunner, though. That's
for
great.
The first 3 or 4 episodes, then they bailed on it. They said, So,
Jim, is that the show that traumatized you, that first episode or whatever that was?
It shocked me. It didn't traumatize me. It was just like, whoa, what is this?
Well, it shouldn't, though. I mean, as a Kirkman fan, it shouldn't really be that shocking to most people.
No. I was
it had that very Walking Dead if it was superheroes instead of zombies vibe.
All right. In further Batman news, it seems that a second Lego Batman movie was indeed in the works, which is exciting. But here's the bad part. But thanks to a change in the rights, we are never going to see it. Oh, my gosh. I didn't realize that the rights to the Batman movie for the Legos went from Warner Brothers over to Universal Studios. There was a script in the works for the follow-up from Dan Harmon, who of Rick and Morty fame, and Michael Waldron, who was one of the writers on Loki and Doctor Strange and the Multitude of Madness. They described it as partially The Godfather Part 2 and Boogie Nights. How did the Batman Lego movie rights go to Universal? I just don't get that. That just flummoxes me.
I think Universal has the Lego movie rights.
Oh, man.
Or they got them. I could be way off.
I mean, it's possible that
my nerd heart hurts that we lost that movie.
It could be that WB just didn't have the money to renew that license.
Maybe.
Or they didn't care. I mean, let's be honest. AT&T is the parent company of Warner Brothers now, and they kind of don't care about the superhero stuff.
They spun them off. I've heard. They spun off the Warner Brothers movie franchise. Now it's Warner's Media, and they joined it with who did they join it with? We talked about this a couple weeks ago. So I don't understand how that works. They're sort of the parent company, but it's one of those dotted line relationships now. Yeah, but I think you're right. They don't care about it, so they got rid of it, Ben. I think that's what happened, and they lost the rights. We're really good friends with Dan Lin, who owns – he's the chief creative officer or CEO of Brick House, which is the Lego. So maybe we can find out. That would be cool.
Wait, all right. Before we move on, since you mentioned Lego, can I mention one other bit of news real quick that's related to Lego?
Yeah.
So for those of you who – I know I couldn't prepare a whole convention update, but there were a couple things of interest that would mean a lot to two particular people. The first one is applicable to Derek, who is not here, but they are doing the first ever Lego Con on June 26th. It is completely virtual experience. If you go to the Lego website, there's all the info about it, but basically it's going to be 90 minutes of content streamed on lego.com, and it's going live from Lego House. So that's in Denmark for any of you brickheads out there. And there's going to be a lot of special guests. People can share their builds and all sorts of stuff. So if you guys
2 minutes, 2 minutes remaining on the news segment.
Yep.
Stay tuned. If you're in LA, 9 a.m. Is the time it's on. And also Netflix, Witcher Netflix announced that they are doing the first ever Witcher convention, WitcherCon, with the game, with CD Projekt Red and Netflix on July 9th. Anyway, that's all I wanted to say.
Fantastic. Okay. We got to make sure Derek knows about this because he will be so upset. Okay, good. Last bit of news, and this is a sad to report. Ned Beatty, known, and this is our DC minutes here. Ned Beatty, known perhaps best to us here for playing Otis Berg in the Christopher Reeve Superman films, has passed away at the age of 83. Born in 1937, he rose to fame for his performance as Bobby Tripp in 1972's Deliverance, which is a pretty harrowing film. He went on to a career of a lot of big films, including Nashville Network, The Big Easy, and many more, but we love him as Otis. He was one of the most beloved characters. That's back when superhero films were less dark and just fun and a little bit of a bumbling kind of adventure.
He did have a Marvel connection too, because he was in the 1990 Captain America movie, the one that was like direct to video.
That one.
That's cool, man.
All right. 38 seconds left for news.
And we're done!
Okay. Also, the first Witcher 2 teaser came out. So for any of you Witcher fans like me, or Henry Cavill fans like Danae.
Henry Cavill wasn't in the teaser. I watched it, just to let you all know if you are Henry Cavill fan.
Oh, that's too sad.
Danae always checks to see if you can actually see Henry Cavill in
the All right, guys. Marvel Studios' original live-action series, Loki. It takes the fan-favorite villain on the ride of a lifetime, or considering the time-traveling premise, perhaps multiple lifetimes. The series takes place after the events of Avengers Endgame, and it begins the moment in Endgame when the 2012 Loki takes the Tesseract. This lands the God of Mischief in the hands of the Time Variance Authority, better known as the TVA. You need his help to help mend the timeline. Danae, step up. We are all ears. Tell us about it.
Guys, I have a whole page of notes. I'm wearing my classic, if you can see it, I don't know, Loki's Army bracelet, circa 2012. I got my Loki pop. I'm ready to go. So real quick recap, if you haven't watched it, because I do want to avoid spoilers as much as I can. We see Loki from, it starts out that moment in Endgame where we see him grab the Tesseract and go, and it just picks up from there. We learn a lot about time variance, all sorts of things that happen when you mess with time, as well as the people that keep that stuff in order. And it's really interesting. You get to see basically Loki in the DMV. You get to see Loki go to therapy, kind of, with Owen Wilson. I mean, who doesn't want Owen Wilson as their therapist? Yeah, exactly. That would be amazing. And it did beg the question, like, how much better would this world have been if Odin had just sent his son to therapy early on? Might have helped quite a bit. Anyways, I've been so excited for this because I am a huge Loki fan. I have a whole page of notes, so I'm just going to jump right in.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, Avengers 2012 Loki, he was just a fandom phenomenon. If you were on Tumblr at all that year, Tom Hiddleston was everywhere. Because here's the thing, though. He's not just any bad. Oh, there's a mosquito in my wine. Sorry. It was really important. I had to deal with it. It wasn't just
that's the action. Danger zone right there.
Mosquito in our line. Okay, he's gone.
That
now.
Clip is going in the next edit of the opening.
Okay. Anyways, I only have 20 minutes. I have to cut out like all of my Norse mythology talk I was going to give you guys.
Oh, my.
No, I'm kidding. So, Avengers 2012 was a huge deal. And this isn't just any bad guy. I honestly don't think that if it had been another actor in the scenario that this character would have taken off the way it did, because Tom Hiddleston went to Cambridge. It's the British version of an Ivy League school. It's just Ivy with more E's in the word. And so he takes his characters very seriously. He loves the character. He's put so much into it. And that's part of the reason that it's so well loved is just because of how much depth there is. Oh, it's great. This hasn't happened yet. I'm so excited. So I don't think it would have gone, because here's the thing is that when you take like a side character and put them in the middle, it can be really risky. When we look at things, I'm sorry, but the only example I can think of right now is when Nickelodeon did Sam and Cat, which was a spinoff of iCarly and Victorious. It was the two silly sidekicks brought together. It did not work. So that was a risk, but I really do believe in this case, it paid off. So really quick, as a Loki, not expert, but super fan here, I'm going to jump in by saying how I would have handled Infinity War, because when I watched that movie, I felt like the Russo brothers did not watch any of the other Avenger films. And this is why.
Oh, wow. That's a bold statement, Danae.
I was not a fan of Infinity War because of how they handled. There were just so many just slip ups along the way. First things first, in 2012 Avengers Assemble, we see Loki right after he's been held captive by Thanos for a long time. He is dehydrated because he really is a frost giant being melted, being tortured and brainwashed and handed this Tesseract and given this job. That's why when he first appears at S.H.I.E.L.D. in front of everybody, he stumbles at one point because of how dehydrated he is. Like, his eyes are red. There's problems going on. Somebody who spent that long with Thanos is not just going to walk up to him with a knife and try and stab him. He would know better. Like, even if Loki hadn't done that, he's a smart character who would have known better. It was a big issue I had. I think if they really wanted us to be scared of Thanos, it would have been Thanos turned around at the last second and stabbed the real Loki sneaking up behind him. That's just the littlest change that would have made the biggest difference. That was like, it's just like Doctor Strange chopped, like, you know, Thanos' henchmen in half in the beginning, but he can't cut the gauntlet off of his hand later. It made no sense. That movie made me so mad. That's another 3-hour discussion for later. So jumping into this, we're taking off right after Avengers 2012, which was, you know, the greatest summer to ever happen. And look, this is the Loki we've got. So basically, are we asking, does Ragnarok Loki not exist? Does Dark World Loki, which is the movie we all kind of forgot about, not exist? It's a lot to go through. So we're jumping right. So yeah, we're jumping in a weird spot. So first of all, I love that at the very beginning, this this solid, strong woman comes in and kidnaps him right out of, is it like Mongol that he lands in? I can't remember exactly, yeah. But yeah.
I think it was the Mongolian desert, yes.
It was the Mongolian desert, yeah. Some like a strong woman just jumps right in and grabs him, and I love that. So then he ends up in basically this government facility that controls time. And my first question was like, why is everything 70s? Why does it all look like the 70s in here? I'm so confused.
Because it looks so cool.
It does look cool, but there's an answer to that I have in just a moment.
Okay.
Why is it 70s? Okay, also real quick, first thing that happens is the iconic Loki suit, this one that we saw, vanishes. And I have to say, like real quick, not quite that one, but yeah, Tom Hiddleston turned 40 this year and he still looks amazing. Just gonna throw that out there.
That was some serious, and I mean serious, Tumblr fan service.
Oh yeah, it was all for them. It was all for them. Yeah. So yeah, he looked great. So then he walks in. You had that scene from the trailer of sign this to approve that it's everything you ever said. I do not believe for a second that everything Loki has said would fill one ream of paper. There's no way in heck that it was.
But I must interject. I loved how clever that scene was. He goes, are you kidding? Oh, sign this one now.
I love that. It was just, I love that this, you know, any kind of control that's led by a big bureaucracy like that, there's going to be so many tiny little things that bog you down and slow you up. And I loved that we're basically watching Loki go to the DMV in this episode. It's amazing. Yeah. So yeah, I do not believe that was long. I loved that we had a hair flip right away, because that was so many, again, Tumblr 2012, favorite moment of Avengers was Black Widow does a hair flip, followed by Loki does a hair flip. I can't do one, but it was great. There was a hair flip moment, and it was like, yeah, this is 2012 Loki. We've picked him right up. Like, the character development that he went through is gone, which kind of stinks in some levels because he's so cool, but also... what great skill to be like for writers and an actor to be able to pick up where they left off here and forget everything else and set it aside. Kind of. We're going to get back to that. Also, I absolutely love the Saturday morning cartoon exposition. Miss Minutes, who guided us through this whole like cheesy moment of what the show that I will not say that you all know I hate wanted to be and could have been in that 2 minutes, but wasn't. I loved that moment. Also, Miss Minutes was being, speaking of Batman, was being voiced by Barbara from The Killing Joke, and I've lost her name. We'll fix this in post. I'll think of her name in a minute.
Jimmy, what did you say? There's a show you don't want to mention?
Jim, I'll give you three guesses of Avengers shows that I haven't liked.
Oh, okay. Keep going.
That moment was what that show wanted to be. Also, Ben, you and I totally called it. Loki was B.D. Cooper. Like, how great was that moment? I love that they were like, let's just throw this out here for the fans. That, which, if you guys don't know, there was in, like, the 40s, 50s, a man who basically took over an airplane, demanded money, then jumped out with a parachute. The parachute and the marked bills were never found, which can only be explained by him being picked up by
the Bifrost.
Yeah, by the Bifrost. Thank you.
Yeah, if you go to Wikipedia and read the story of D.B. Cooper, it's insane. I believe it was the 70s when you could still just buy a ticket and walk onto an airplane and there was no security.
Yeah, I'm on this airplane with my machete.
Yeah.
Got it its own ticket. It's fine. Yeah, so that was a great moment. Also, I absolutely loved just this realization of the Tesseract did not work. Sorry, we are getting into so many spoilers.
And we'll talk about that. That's one of the biggest moments of this thing. Like, if we're going to talk about, I'm not okay. If
are we going to spoiler? Are we going to not spoiler? What are we going to do?
For the record, guys,
we're at 10 minutes right now.
As long as we give people a warning. I think it's okay. Like, if we tell people,
we are talking. Yeah, we're at 10 minutes.
We're talking spoilers.
Spoiler alert. We're into spoilers. Yeah.
Spoiler alert for Loki if you haven't watched it yet.
Can we talk about that for a second? Why was that so big?
So we spent, you know, what was it, almost 10 years of Marvel revealing that the Infinity Stones are the ultimate power. It was a huge deal to get one of them. And Loki is dropped into this facility where they have all the Infinity Stones, multiple versions from multiple timelines, and none of them work there.
And wait, what did they use them as?
They use them as paperweights.
Paperweights, yeah.
Ben, yeah, Ben. I'm doing like kind of a proud moment here, or maybe I'm doing a name drop. I don't know. All I know is, so the character Casey is played by the actor Eugene Cordero, who has been having a phenomenal career as of the last few years. He was in Mandalorian. He was in Kong Skull Island. He's been in a handful of other things. But he used to be my improv coach at Upright Citizens Brigade.
Nice.
He's a great guy. I'm Facebook friends with him. And every time I see him on something, I go on his wall and I'm like, hey, you're on a Star Wars. And I would
get him on the show. Come on, dude.
I don't know if I'm that close with him. He's such a sweet guy. And I'm just so happy to see him having so much success. And he killed it as Casey in Loki. He was absolutely great.
He was amazing. Besides Tom Hiddleston, he was my favorite part.
Some of the guys knew some of his paperweights.
Can we talk for a second?
Paperweights, Infinity Stones, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, to Katie's point, why is that such a big deal?
We just said why.
I think the reason why it's such a big deal is that we spent 10 years of our life, like they said, thinking that they were this big, big freaking deal and life-changing, world-changing, everything.
Universe-changing.
Yeah. And now they're just like, you mean these things, then they're not really as big a deal as y'all think.
Yeah. Outside of time.
It also shows how in control they are, because they're like, we have control over the situation. If things get too bad, we're going to go and...
Yep.
They can just fix it.
I know. We've been told that these are the most powerful objects in the universe. They are elemental in their power. They were there at the beginning of creation, and they represent every kind of extreme power.
It's direct.
Also, anybody else, Ben, Danae, get Doctor Who vibes? Like, we have these people that are literally like time sheriffs.
They're basically time lords.
And I'm like, they're time lords. They're legit time lords. So the Whovian in me was kind of like, I'm on board with this. Like, I could be on board. I like this.
All right, Danae, what else? Keep going.
Okay, so it was a great moment because we got to see everything that this character is.
Sticky notes.
Doctor Who sticky notes. So we saw for this moment, everything that Loki has been working towards is just stripped away. And he sees how like ultimate power, which he has wanted, he wants to be king of the universe, he says in the episode, is not that big of a deal. There's something bigger than that. There's always something bigger. And there's that moment where he's kind of like back in this one room and Owen Wilson finds him. And he's like, yeah, I tried to use the Tesseract several times. It did not work. And it's just this moment of everything being stripped away. And I loved that this whole episode was a therapy session. Like I mentioned before, I'll mention it again. Because Owen Wilson was like, okay, you're going to do that. Then what? Okay, you do that. Then what? Okay, you do that. Then what? Okay, that's a pretty big deal. What are you going to do once you're king of the universe?
Right.
He's like, I'm going to make everybody's lives better. He's like, are you though? And then so we have this beautiful moment where we kind of see the clips of everything that would have happened in Dark World and Ragnarok, and then of course in Infinity War, which
Wait, slow down. That almost brought tears to my eyes to watch this scene. You're describing a scene where Loki goes back and he's watching the timeline, which it's called the sacred timeline, of what actually occurred after he was taken from that timeline. And Danae, what was it that he saw?
That's what I was about to say. It's like, it was a beautiful moment of seeing just what your life is, how it's supposed to unfold. And he sees, you know, the huge moment from Dark World where his mother died and it was his fault.
Yep.
I mean, you could say that it was his fault. It was somebody else killed his mother, but it was because of directions that he gave to them. And which is another amazing movie and an amazing scene is just seeing him like mourning his mother and over he was the reason for it. And he also sees, of course, how much Thor and Odin really did care for him, which was in Ragnarok. That was a beautiful moment when they're on the cliffs in Norway and Odin is like, I love you, my sons. And he's not just saying it to Thor, who he gave the hammer to. He's saying it to both of them. And it's a great, great moment. And then, of course, we also see that he had the opportunity to try and save everyone. He basically sacrificed himself in the beginning of Infinity War in order to save Thor. which was a huge leap. And
I was gonna say with something like that, you know, I think so often hypothetically we'll ask ourselves like, if I could go back and like relive different things in my life, or if I did things differently, and no, this kind of showed like, you don't want to see how your life could have been or what wasn't, because it's probably not going to be what you want to see. That would traumatize any of us if we had to see something that was different. And obviously we don't have multiverses or that we know of, but you know, that would be hard, draining on anyone. Even acting that would be draining. I'm not an actor, but I'm sure Ben can agree that that's draining.
I mean, for Loki in this situation, his mother is still alive. His father is still alive, and he just watches how they're going to die. For any of us, that would be awful, with parents alive or not. And I thought it was handled so well. The scene was written and executed beautifully. And,
it was
so good. And again, still giving out spoiler alerts if you're trying to skip ahead right now. There's a big bad led up in the beginning that was like, oh, somebody killed people. Who was it? And a witness pointed to the sign of the devil saying, oh, the devil did it. Right from the butt, I just want to ask, did anybody else call that it was also Loki was the big bad? Was that kind of obvious to anybody else? Yeah.
When they look at the stained glass window?
Yeah, when you look at the stained glass window and he points at the devil, the kid who saw what happened points at the devil and
I was thinking it was Mephisto.
A lot of people think it's Mephisto.
But it's always Mephisto.
Everyone thought Mephisto was...
wanted Mephisto in WandaVision, too.
Yeah, everybody thought it was Mephisto. But I guess the writers of Loki have confirmed that it's not Mephisto. So that's cool.
Well, at the end of the episode, Owen Wilson is asked... I cannot remember his name. He's just Owen Wilson. That's always his character.
No, it's Mobius M. Mobius. Which is the coolest name ever for like somebody in time. Because, you know, a Mobius strip is like the time it's the same forward and backwards. And his name, Mobius M. Mobius, is the same forward and backwards. It's awesome.
Anyways, Owen Wilson tells Loki, oh, I need your help going after somebody. And he's like, who is it? Oh, it's you. He's like, oh, wow. Yeah, what a twist. Wasn't expecting that at all. So we get the idea that Loki is going to be employed by Time DMV to help them fight himself. So I'm really interested to see where this goes. May I give a prediction? Is that okay if we give predictions right now?
Please do. We've got about 3 minutes in this section, and then we got to
jump. I would not be surprised if at the end of this season or series, it is Loki's choice to destroy this alternate version of himself and step back into the Avengers where he was before, to go on this big adventure and then come back, and he's going to end up on the same timeline that we knew, pass away in Infinity War. That's kind of my prediction right now. Also, if you pay attention in the credits, why is it the 70s? Because as you're watching along, you've got all of these signs kind of in the credits in the background. One of them is of these time leaders, and it says, we are always watching. And it was major like 1984 vibes for me. And I was like, it's the 70s, because this is like Soviet Russia that was way behind on everything. So to me, Soviet Russia always looks like the 70s. But yeah, I was like, oh my gosh, that's what you're going for, is this dangerous overlord watching everybody. I would love to see them overthrown now. But that's why it was 70s themed, because it's not the 70s, but 1984. You know what I'm saying without me saying it. You guys are following. I loved it. I'm contemplating staying up till midnight tomorrow night to watch episode 2.
I will. All right. Let's just jump in real quick. Ben and Katie, I do want to, you guys, we only got a couple of minutes. Ben, let's go with you first. I would love to know your take.
I was just going to point out one quick thing. I really enjoyed it. I was going to troll Danae and be like, well, it was fine. But I really enjoyed it. One thing I noticed talking about the ending credits, it does all these flashing of images like it did with Falcon and Winter Soldier and with WandaVision. And in one of them, it's his profile. It's like his that's my timer for this segment. It's like his file with his picture and his name, Loki Laufeyson, and all this stuff. And under on Loki's paperwork under gender, it says fluid.
Yep.
Which I noticed, and I thought
I think I killed the mosquito, guys.
Wait, oh, good. No. Ben, I can respond to that real quick.
Please do.
because it got so controversial and everybody was yelling. And this is our show about controversies this week. But let's just say there's got to be a way to say this without being offensive. Loki, perhaps he was a very pretty man in the original Thor. Let's just put it that way. He really was. But let me not go just there. Let me go supernatural or superhero. Loki can turn into a woman anytime he wants to. And I don't know if they were having fun with that. I do know that that Marvel is very inclusive. And so if they want to go that direction, they'll go that direction. But I thought that was interesting. But I also thought it might have been a little fun tongue-in-cheek. If he wants to show up as, you know, as Black Widow, he can do it.
I mean, just to dip back into original Norse mythology, I mean, there were moments when Loki turned into like a fly and was biting people. Like he's pretty fluid in the sense that he can be whatever he wants.
Yes, but weren't there also times in Greek, in Norse mythology when he did become female aspects of certain characters? I think that's true.
Oh, yeah, that totally happened. If you guys are interested in this, by the way, I totally recommend Neil Gaiman's book, Norse Mythology. It's so many great stories, and Loki's in just about all of them with Thor being.
And we do have to end this section because we are going long. But guys, I've got to ask this question: who is the big bad villain that we saw at the end? Dun dun dun! Just from behind, I have my opinions. What do you guys think?
I think it's just another Loki. Also, oh my gosh, people were set on fire. That was a dark turn. I felt for how
I don't think it was Loki. I don't think it was Loki. Who do you guys think it was?
You don't think so?
No. Who do you think it was, Jim?
Okay. Wait, what happened at the end? Wait.
There was a hooded
thing. He set the agents on fire. I was like, who did he set on fire?
And then we just saw him from behind, this hooded figure, mysterious. They didn't show him.
I feel like it's Loki, but I felt like I was just fed.
Here's the thing. Here's the thing, you guys. You have to remember that we all did this for WandaVision. They want us to do all these predictions, and Marvel went, F you, we're going to do what the hell we want.
The difference was that WandaVision sucked, okay? That was the difference.
But the
opinions of Danae are hers and hers alone.
What I was going to say is Danae did touch on this, and I know we're past the time, but I think Loki achieved what WandaVision wanted to do, but WandaVision was too rushed to do it, and they didn't have as great of a setup as Loki did. I loved the feel of this. I loved the tone of this more than I liked WandaVision as well.
Yep.
You know, it still had that slow, you don't know what's going on. You don't know a lot about the story, just like you didn't with WandaVision, but I was more invested in the not knowing in this one than I was in WandaVision, if that makes sense.
Real quick, Jake, 30 seconds. What'd you think?
About just everything?
The Loki thing.
Yeah. I loved it. I thought it was great. The humor was awesome. My favorite part of the whole episode was when he's talking to the guy. He's like, I'll gut you like a fish. And he's like, what's a fish?
Love it. So he turned me into a fish.
Yeah.
Real quick, I think the end, okay, the rumors are that it's possibly Kang, K-A-N-G, who is a big Kang. Villain. Yeah. Or I pulled up a picture of the rear of the backside of Doctor Doom, and it is spot on. And I do know that they are trying to find a – not trying to find a way. I do know that the Fantastic Four is in the cards for a future Marvel something. So what if this is the way to bring Dr. Doom and the Fantastic Four into the universe here? I would love that so much. My mind would be blown. I would love it.
But what if Dr. Doom is just another form of Loki? Is that possible?
Maybe. All right, guys.
You probably should be careful about looking up the backside of characters.
This is very true.
In Age of Ultron, we do see Loki, but it's from behind because he's wearing a hood.
For the record, I the controversy today on Catwoman. I got a lot of pictures. Let's just say let's move on, guys. Let's just say Loki broke the record for the biggest first episode for a Marvel series. And in the first week, it broke the record for the first any series on Disney Plus. So it is hitting big. It's going to be
not
big. All right. It's going to be big. Scroll, scroll, scroll. All right. Here we go. Next topic. We are moving into a topic. And hopefully, Jake, you can help me with this because you're more of a fan of collecting and you know more about Masters of the Universe than probably anybody on this podcast tonight, including myself, even though I grew up with it. But let's just say this. Netflix has announced that they are having a brand new Marvel's, not Marvel's, Masters of the Universe. It was put together by Kevin Smith, of all people. Kevin Smith, who, 2 years ago said he's not a fan of Masters of the Universe, but we'll let that slide.
Oh, he said that, really?
He said it on his comic book show that was on AMC. But what? Who cares?
Yeah.
But anyways, and this is the part, when we talked about there was a little bit of controversy this week, maybe this is what we were talking about. The War for Eternia. This is the description of the Netflix show. The War for Eternia begins again in what may be the final battle between He-Man and Skeletor. Voiced by Mark Hamill, I might say. I'm so stoked about that.
Yeah, the cast.
Listen to this cast. It's called Master of the Universe, Revelations. What are you going to say, Jake?
I was just saying the cast is awesome. Go ahead.
Here's the cast. Yeah. Chris Wood is He-Man. He-Man is played by Chris Wood. Skeletor is played by Mark Hamill. Evil Lynn, Evelyn split into Evil Lynn, played by Lena Headey. Cersei, anybody? That's awesome. All right. Tila is played by Sarah Michelle Gellar. Roboto is played by Justin Long, which makes me laugh. is it Lena or Ilina? Lena? Is that the name?
I'm not even sure who that character is.
It's played by an actress. Her name is Harley Quinn Smith. Okay, I'm just going to say, Harley Quinn, if you're watching, I'm sorry. I'm going to make fun of your name. What is up with that?
That's Kevin. That's Kevin's daughter.
Yeah. Oh, I'm so terrible. Oh, my gosh. That's a great name, Kevin. You should.
Oh, my gosh.
So when it's a man coming up with the name, you're okay with it, Jim?
Kevin Smith. I love him. No.
Just a second ago, he was throwing shade at Kevin Smith for not liking Masters of the Universe, and then they make a show.
Oh, no. I think Kevin Smith would be completely okay with the conversation we're about to have. Completely okay. I wish he was here right now. Queen Marlena is played by Alicia Silverstone. Jason Mewes is playing Stinkor.
That's great.
Susan Eisenberg is playing the Sorceress, and Kevin Conroy, the Merman. There is a little bit of a controversy. Jake, do you know what the controversy is?
So, let's go back to when they first announced the show, even.
Okay. Like,
fans have always – it doesn't matter what the show is. If they're redoing something or making an updated version – they're never going to make everybody happy. And when they first announced that Kevin Smith was redoing Masters of the Universe, way before any of this, I remember seeing comments online like, this is going to be terrible. Why are they giving this to Kevin Smith? It's going to be awful. Just because his name was attached to it. And he's had a lot of success. Everyone knows the Jay and Silent Bob movies and stuff. And then he's had kind of like a, rougher patch late in the later years, with some of his movies. But, I still enjoy all the stuff. I think he's a great writer, But lately, the biggest thing that's happened now is that he had said when they were announcing this that he was like, this is going to be the Masters of the Universe you love. We're going to redo, make it like the vintage style show, make it updated and everything like that. So everyone's like, yeah, we're right on. We're all on board. And then I think it was Entertainment Weekly announced they released some footage or not footage of like images and stuff and kind of some descriptions. And it was saying that it's not going to quite go how he said it was. They're going to kind of go in different directions.
Yeah.
So if you don't know, they're saying that the show might not focus so much on He-Man as the main character, and it might shift over to the character Tila and have her be like one of the driving characters of the show and have her be the one who, gets the power sword and does everything. And again, that's not 100% confirmed. It's just rumors and people are already, all up in arms.
No, to your point, Jake, let's say right out front, no consumers have seen these episodes yet. This is something that people are putting together from the previews, from the trailers. I mean, some people have seen the episodes, but it's embargoed. We'll talk about it later. But right now, this is coming from people who have not seen the episodes yet, right?
Right. And they just finally released a teaser trailer, and people love it because the trailer looks like how he describes it in his initial description. It's like, if you haven't seen it, it's basically it's this the whole time.
It's just wait. Let's go back. That's perfect.
There you go. It's just full on action, and it's all nostalgia. Like, whoa, there's that character. There's this character. There's this character. But then people were saying, like, I bet that's all just the first episode, and then the show is going to take a turn, and they're going to have it go in a different direction. And a lot of people aren't happy about that. I, for one, you know, I'm not going to judge anything. I want to see it before I make any decisions, you know. And honestly, like, for me, growing up, I loved He-Man. I loved the toys. I grew up with the toys. And I saw the show sometimes, but, like, it was mostly about my experience just playing with the toys and coming up with the stories on my own and just making up these things. And now, you know, I wasn't too concerned. Like, that's not how it was in the original cartoon. That's different, you know? So I guess it depends on how, you know, invested you are in these characters and stuff. So, like, when I heard that idea that they were going to change it, I'm like, that's interesting. It's not, I'm not like, that's a terrible idea or anything, you know?
Yeah.
So,
but let's talk about that just for a second. And I have a couple of photos here from He-Man. It's a cool, like, here's the deal. The last time we saw He-Man original content, wasn't it like, it's been 20 or 30 years. It's been quite some time.
Yeah, it has. Because they redid the show in 2002 and they had it updated designs and made them, you know, much more action oriented and stuff. And that was a big hit. And now the exciting thing about this show is that it has that updated animation style, but the characters look more like how they did in the 80s. Like,
well,
the
here, original cartoon style. I'll go ahead and I'll just break it down. Here's the controversy. And Netflix released another statement about, like, what the series is about during Netflix Geeked Week. They had a Geeked Week, and we kind of missed it. I'm sad that we missed Geeked Week on Netflix, but they made a lot of announcements. But here's the description. After the cataclysmic battle between He-Man and Skeletor, Eternia is fractured, and the Guardians of Grayskull are scattered. And after decades of secrets tore them apart, it is up to Teela to reunite the broken band of heroes and solve the mystery of the missing Sword of Power in a race against time to restore Eternia and prevent the end of the universe. So what the big controversy is a lot of fans feel that it was a bait and switch. Kevin Smith came on and he did a big announcement about what the series was about. And he really kind of played it up and it was cool. Like I watched that and it was, and he talked about how He-Man is back. The stories are back. Masters of the Universe are back. And they're kind of picking up from there and they're going on, but then they're also reimagining as well. You have to, you know, it's 20 years later. You got to kind of go forward. But what the fans, and let's not discount what a lot of fans are kind of concerned about, is it seems like Teela has become the centerpiece of the series in the description. And again, these people haven't seen the series yet. It seems that way. And so that's what the concern was about. Cosmicbook.com, which is probably one of the sites that led the charge here in talking about it. I wish we could have got them on the show tonight, because here's the thing. A lot of people think, oh, that's just a bunch of guys in their basement sitting there being bad because it's not about guys anymore. No, that wasn't true. If you were to watch the podcast from Cosmic, it's called I don't have it. I got to scroll through here. But like the podcast coming from cosmicbook.com, I think it's called Clownfish TV. There was a lady on there. She is, I forget her name, Sparkly something. I'll find it in a second. She was the biggest vocal critic of, like, wait a second. When I was a kid, I grew up with He-Man, and I grew up with such and such, and I grew up with such and such. If this is not a series about He-Man and they switched it over to Teela, then she said she's going to be upset. So that's a valid concern, I guess. Again, I have to preface this. Nobody's seen it yet. Okay. Go ahead, Katie. So, by the way, this is Teela right here. I just want everybody to see. This is the new Teela. And a lot of the complaints is that here we go. No, here's new Teela, and she has a shaved head on one side. She's much more muscular, and, you know, and some people are just kind of raising a stink about it. Go ahead, Katie.
So just because the article was written by a woman doesn't that make her points invalid, but it also doesn't mean that that's completely how everyone is going to feel.
But they're still,
you know what I mean? I don't know if you guys get what I'm going at with that.
Yeah.
So, because there are plenty of women who feel the same way as men. There's plenty of men that feel the same way as men. There's plenty of women that feel the same way as women. So you can't really categorize the thoughts of one person and group us all together. I personally don't watch the show. I haven't seen the show. I'm familiar with characters because of collectibles and Funko Pops and that. But like I said, she has points. I'm sure she has good points that I probably agree with. But you also have to take into consideration that it doesn't have to be written by a man or a woman for that point to come across. So.
Right. Right. Yeah. But the thing is, I think what it is there's a, I think this is less, I don't know. I, as a person who did not, I'm not part of the conversation here. And so I don't really want to say how other people are feeling. That's not my place, but it's seen. And I have a couple of tweets here, and Kevin Smith did respond to this. He says, he was responding to somebody because there's a lot of people out there that are raising this concern. And it's a valid concern, I guess. If you feel somebody has taken something, there's this nostalgia for Masters of the Universe. I collected Masters of the Universe as a kid, and I didn't do it as well as Jake because all of mine are broken up and in a box in my mom's attic. So I was not as big of a fan, but I would watch it when I came home from school, and it was great. And I think we are in a different time today. Back then, the word woke, I'm putting that in quotes, was not something that we kind of, wasn't something we were thinking about back then, for better or for ill. So I'm going to say, you know, there's both good and bad coming from, you know, being more attentive to representation and inclusiveness in these shows. But what Kevin Smith's response was to somebody called JT. If you are indeed an actual lifelong fan of Masters of the Universe, then you are going to love the Revelation show, which is the name of the new show is coming up. It's a tale so deeply entrenched in the lore of the property, quotes, that we finish storylines from the Mattel mini comics and the cartoons playing deep cuts for old fans. That's kind of cool. And then here's a response from another guy called Price of Reason. Kevin, the concern here is that you have unreasonably boosted the female character strengths at the expense of the male characters, a la The Last Jedi. His opinion, I'm not saying that's my opinion. If that is not the case, the show will focus on He-Man, then it should be fine. Hard not to be a bit skeptical. And then one more statement from this other guy. His name's Jericho. I can quote these guys because it's on Twitter, public information. It says, I mean, if Teela is the main character of the show, then shouldn't it be called Teela and the Masters of the Universe? Otherwise, isn't it a bait and switch? So there's some valid concerns.
That's valid. I mean, yeah, if you're going to have a He-Man show, then obviously He-Man should be the main character. I'm not going to knock that. Kristen said it, you know, the article said it. I agree with that. But if you want to have another lead as it, then have that be
the original toy line was just called Masters of the Universe. And then and then the cartoon was He-Man and the Masters of the Universe. Masters of the Universe Revelations.
So. Yeah. This program is called Masters of the Universe Revelations.
Yes. So then that's the case, then it should be able to focus on more than one character and not necessarily just be emphasized on He-Man.
Yep. Wait.
Anytime someone does decide to make, you know, another character forefront, there's always, given the times, people are going to raise that speculation. Are they doing this to fulfill the political checklist and say that they're being diverse or saying that they're doing different? And that's always going to be it's hard to know the integrity going into the project. It's hard to know their reasoning behind it unless you personally know that. So it's always unfortunately going to be us just having to decide for ourselves with how the movie is, whether or not we're going to like it or not.
I've been kind of getting like flashbacks of the whole 2016 Ghostbusters.
That's a good point that you made there, Jake. It's like, that's one of the, what somebody said was, I have all this information here and it's so much and I don't want to go through it. But people were drawing comparisons back to Ghostbusters. It says, this isn't something new and has been an agenda pushed by Hollywood, the writer's opinion, for years, as has been seen with Disney's Star Wars, Doctor Who, Ghostbusters, Birds of Prey. Birds of Prey is all women. I don't understand how
they're that's a stupid comparison.
That's a dumb statement there.
That's or always been yeah.
Or Terminator. The Birds of Prey, that what an idiot. Sorry, I shouldn't say stuff like that. But Brad has a couple of comments. Let me read these real quick. Here's from Brad. The problem is that it seems like Kevin is coming off shady and lying to fans in a bait and switch effort to push a woke update to the series. Let's just read his comments here. And when fans called Kevin out, he promised it was not the way things were being speculated. And then it turned around this week and he did an interview stating otherwise. And two more. They even took the name He-Man out of the title of the show, and it is a continuation. And it's a continuation show. So why did they take the title out? And then he goes, the original focus on all these amazing characters. We're just concerned it's forced turn, and fans are upset. Okay.
Yeah, but fans always get upset.
Yeah.
But no matter what, I think at the end of the day, everybody is so passionate, and it's great to be passionate, as all of us can tell you, but you have to still realize that no one can make anyone happy. And if you kind of get stuck on all of these, this isn't the right reason, and they're forcing this and they're forcing that, you kind of take out what you could possibly be getting out of that show by getting stuck up on that.
Right. So, I don't want to discount what Brad's saying though. If a new updated show wants to focus on a new character, so be it. I agree. But like what Brad was saying is fans were hoping for a new He-Man series and they feel that's not what they're getting. Again, nobody's seen it.
They don't know yet, though.
Yeah. Ben, were you raising your finger?
I was just going to make one quick comment. For secret legal reasons, I can't say much. But when the show does come out, before you pass any judgment on it, watch all of the episodes.
Yep. Cool.
All of them.
Yep.
That's all I'm going
to
say.
That's awesome. Danae, did you want to say anything?
I mean, I just had one quick comment. I think I really do understand the fear that people have because, like Katie said, we are very passionate. I follow up with what Ben said about, like, maybe you should watch all the episodes. While I'm not a He-Man fan, I'm a big Narnia fan. I've said it on here a lot. Netflix is also making a new Narnia series, and they have talked about, I've heard rumors of how they're going to be changing things. And as a fan, that makes me incredibly nervous because, I mean, I grew up on the BBC Narnias from the 80s. And it's just so hard because it's like, okay, maybe little changes could be fun, but it's something we really care about. And when you go in and cut and slash and just completely change things around just in the name of, we want to be woke. I mean, I don't want, that's not what you want. It's like, I want to see Narnia live. I want to see the books that I love put on my TV. And so I get where people are coming from, but at the same time, I'm still going to watch Narnia when it comes out on Netflix. If I get like three episodes in and I'm just like, okay, why is this whole show about Dr. Cornelius and not about the Pevensies? Then I might step out. But okay, cool. A show about Dr. Cornelius would also be amazing. I kind of agree, but Ben, just to kind of agree with what you're saying, like, I understand your fear, and it means you love these things, which is awesome. But like Katie said, you cannot please everyone all the time. And so I say, give it a chance before you write it off. But at the same time, you have valid reasons for me to write it off. Yeah.
I agree.
But I understand the fear because I'm feeling it too. Yeah.
And then
yeah.
We're coming to the end of our podcast here. Mm-hmm. So Katie, go ahead.
Also, Brad, to go off of what you're saying, it's understandable to be upset that someone who is behind the show is saying one thing and saying another thing later. But at the end of the day, he's trying to sell a show.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a business at the same time. So
I get that.
It's just kind of one of those things where I'm not saying it's right. I'm not saying it's wrong. But
I mean, here's the deal. I honestly think that Brad is voicing what a lot of the fans are feeling. I don't think it's as much that people are angry. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you guys out there, Brad is not what you would call a right-wing crazy nut. That's not Brad. That is the furthest thing from Brad. I don't want to give away his cultural opinions, but he's the other direction. So Brad is not one to use the word woke very lightly. He doesn't, that's not him. But so I think this is less about it being woke and more about changing a show that he loved and that the fans loved when they were, I think that's more what we're hitting at there. And as people don't want to, and I agree, like there were those of us who got all grumpy about Star Wars. And by the way, I loved Force Awakens. I didn't like Last Jedi, and I really liked Rise of Skywalker. So there's just one of the three movies I wasn't fully on board with. So I'm not one of those guys that hated Star Wars. Let me just say this real quick. I'm not the most woke person. I'm going to tell you, when I say put woke in quotes, and I'm not afraid to admit it. As a matter of fact, the very word makes my skin crawl because it's been used as a cudgel to separate people. I do admit, though, some of the, I don't know, reimagining, gender swap, something stories of the last 5 or so years may have not sat well with me. But you know what I did when that happened? I just didn't watch it. I turned the channel, or I didn't pay money to go see it. For example, I did not like the last installment of Terminator. It just tired. It just tried so hard to be political virtue signaling, and it lost the story of badass Sarah Connor. And I love badass Sarah Connor. I'm so glad she's back on Sci-Fi in Resident Alien. That makes me nothing but happy. But how about this? Let's create cool, respectful, and inclusive stories for everybody, without making anybody feel excluded. You know, people like Danae, people like me, people like Ben, or people like people of color, people of non-color, if that's a word, I don't know. Just anybody on the spectrum. Let's have more Star Wars, more Marvel, more Black Panther, more of everything, and just make it good. And maybe we can stop patting ourselves on the back about how inclusive we are, or how about this we are, how about that we are, because that's just self-aggrandizing. How about when you're good, you don't got to tell people about it? Let's just make good stories. And some of those stories will be different than what we've had in the past. Some of the stories will change what we've had in the past. By the way, Brad and the things he's saying, this, they're not wrong to be concerned, but I do challenge them to watch the series first. I really do. And if it's lame, we will call it out for what it is, being lame. You can rest assured. But anyways, guys, thank you so much. This has been a good episode tonight. We rarely dip our toes into controversial topics because everybody hates you when you do that, and we just want to be loved. Okay, Brad, thank you. The fans really want this to be good. We've waited 40 years for the series. We want to be a success so we can get more. I agree. And so I think it's going to be good coming July. I think it's 23. I think it's July 23rd. Yeah, comes out on Netflix. And can't tell you much
I'm
more.
Excited to watch it. I'm all in. So I mean,
and there's been a slew of toys released too.
Yeah, there's been. It's been good and bad because there's been some major spoilers with the releases that have come out. I won't say anything, but these are the ones that I've been getting. These are the retro style, like they're redoing the vintage style figures, but they're adding more articulation and stuff. So this was Panthor, and then you got the He-Man, old school stuff. Oh,
can Battlecat actually close his mouth this time?
Yeah.
Oh, heck yeah.
Actually,
he couldn't even move last time. He was just frozen in one position.
There you go.
Hello.
Hello.
That's awesome. And Jake and Brad have been, like, sending all these
I was going to say, did you know who was playing Battlecat in the new show?
No. Yeah. Who?
Someone said,
it's Ben. Stephen Root.
Who?
Stephen Root. You remember
the guy from Office Space? The guy from Office Space, Milton.
Nice. That's awesome.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, Jake, as the weeks come through, and we got to the end tonight, but like I would love to see more of the toys come out. I know that.
Yeah.
What was that? Power Morphicon? Is that the name of the big convention about?
That's this Power Ranger one. I think it's just PowerCon is the
PowerCon. Okay, yeah. Cool. Oh yeah, Power Morphicon is Power Rangers. Wrong power.
Look at that. Right. Look at Brad's comment there.
Last comment. Grown men and women have literally been in the store fighting to get these new Master of the Universe toys like they're the new holiday Barbie. That's awesome. All right, guys. Thank you so much for watching tonight. We'll have more information about this because it comes out July 23rd. We'll talk about it then. You can find me, James D. Fry, on Instagram. Where can we find you, Danae?
You can find me on Instagram at DNAYS.
Katie?
You can find me on, we'll get this right eventually. You can find me at KT_Christine across all social media. I've been taking a small break from Twitch, but I'll be back at it soon, hopefully with some new hardware to stream some different, more games that I love so much. You can catch me on the Con Guy stuff, sometimes writing articles on that hashtag show. So yeah, which, you know, Batwoman, hopefully I'll get to reviewing the rest of the season because they announced the Nightwing is going to be on the show. So
ooh, nice.
Some news on that. So yeah.
I did not know that. Cool, cool. Jake, what about you?
You can find me on Instagram at the Jacob Assistant.
All right, Ben, take us out.
Hey, everyone. Old buddy Ben. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at BenKlieWer. That's right. Cleaver. Hard to spell, easy to say. You can also search the hashtag BK421. I usually tag most of my posts with that. I haven't been too active recently, but I'm getting ready to finish building my home gym in my garage.
Yeah. So
get ready for those thirst posts, everybody. We're gonna have fun.
Oh my gosh, can we just have like a Con Guy workout episode where we all try to work out at Ben's gym?
Let's do it.
Awesome.
So, but you know, now that stuff's starting to open back up, tomorrow is the day. All of California officially, quote unquote, opens back up, where the majority, like 98% of restrictions are lifted for fully vaccinated people. Of course, individual businesses, it's still up to them whether they're going to require you to wear a mask inside or not. Looking forward to it. By the way, does not make you magnetic. That's a stupid thing that's out there. The vaccination does not make you magnetic. Woo-hoo! Some people are just sticky. Keys also don't stick to magnets, by the way. One last thing. Thank you again to that hashtag show for hosting us tonight, as always. And remember, I'm always drinking out of this red cup, because whenever Ben Cleaver shows up, it's always a party.
Woo! Thanks for listening to The Con Guy Show, the official program of theconguy.com. Find us on the Weeby Geeks Collective or anywhere you listen to podcasts. And now on sci-fi.radio, Saturdays at 4 o'clock Eastern, 1 o'clock Pacific, both AM and PM. That's 9 o'clock Greenwich. It's sci-fi for your Wi-Fi.
Laboratory. Hello everyone, Dr. Geek here with a shout out to all the scientists who worked tirelessly to bring a COVID-19 vaccine into reality. Let's face it, creating something of this magnitude is a miracle worthy of Dr. McCoy himself. And now, Dr. Geek needs you to do your part. Remember, each shot is one small step back to normal, one giant leap to putting the pandemic behind us. We can do this! For more information, visit vaccines.gov to find your nearest provider.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping for the TeePublic store, which can all be found at www.esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.